I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Foo followers around the world. Welcome to episode 62 of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host, Ben Johnson. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you are new to the show, please do remember to subscribe to not only make sure that you never miss a brand new episode, but also to be able to check out our archive. That is where you will find my conversations with some of the leading names in martial arts action cinema, whether it be actors, directors, stunt performers, coordinators, and choreographers. We are now in our fifth season of podcasts. We are currently releasing new episodes every 2 weeks on a Monday. If you have any questions or feedback for the show, you can contact us via social media. We are on Twitter at KF Movie Guide. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. Head to our website, kungfumovieguide.com, to find contact information. You can also sign up to our monthly newsletter. And you can also find our donation options. You can donate to us now via PayPal. The direct link for all donations is paypal.me/kungfumovieguide. Thank you so much if you are one of our Foo followers who has already gone online and done that. Thank you so much. That is very much appreciated. You will also find reviews of all the latest martial arts movies on our website, as well as direct links to all of our previous podcasts. And if you want to contact me directly, then we do have our email address, and the email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. Okay, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the show. It features my conversation with none other than Joe Taslim. That's coming right up on today's show. So without any further ado, let's get on with it. Here we go.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello, hello to you. Welcome, welcome one and all Foo followers around the world. Welcome to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. So good to be here, back once again with another brand new episode of the show, your fortnightly fix of Foo. I said that a while ago and it never really caught on. I can't think why. But anyway, my name is Ben Johnson. This is my podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. We have a really big guest on today's episode. I got to spend a little bit of time chatting to Joe Taslim over Zoom. Joe lives in Jakarta. I'm here in London. You, of course, know Joe Taslim from his breakout role in The Raid, The Night Comes for Us. He's done Hollywood movies. He's done Fast and Furious 6, Star Trek Beyond. He's also playing Sub-Zero in the new Mortal Kombat movie. More on that later. Mortal Kombat will be out in 2021. So, fingers crossed anyway. And we managed to talk a little bit about his work in Mortal Kombat. And we do hope that we haven't got him into any kind of trouble or anything. I don't think he gives away any major secrets during this chat, but judging by the reaction that we got to our Ludie Lin episodes that we put up a few weeks back, I know that you guys in particular are hungry for information. It's quite an eagerly anticipated movie. That's the reboot of Mortal Kombat. So if you are excited about that, we do get into that a little bit on this show with Joe. One of the main things that we do cover here is his role in the Cinemax series Warrior. Warrior is based on the writings of Bruce Lee. Its executive producers are Jonathan Tropper, Justin Lin, and Shannon Lee, daughter of Bruce Lee. Season 2 of Warrior has just started now on Cinemax in the USA. Joe plays Lee Yong in the show. He's an enforcer for the rival Long Z gang in the series. If you do watch it, you'll know that he's sort of the equivalent or the rival kung fu master to Assam, who is the hero of the show and the Hopway gang. Assam is played by former guest on this show, Andrew Koji. Joe does get to explore that character a little bit more in season 2. Look, I'm a huge Warrior fan and I do think it's an awesome show. For those who don't know about Warrior, it is set in the 1870s in Chinatown, San Francisco, and it follows the exploits of the rival Tongs, the Chinese gangs, that are operating in Chinatown during the period, as well as covering the immigrant experience. It also shows all the political corruption and the segregation of the time, but it does also have a real swagger about it. There's some really great kung fu fight scenes, of course, and it's got a lot of drama and a fantastic cast as well. So we did find out recently, of course, that the show will now be heading to HBO Max following its run on Cinemax in the USA. So that is really good news, and hopefully it will potentially open the show up to an even bigger audience, and fingers crossed we may even get a third season, which is what all the fans are shouting about at the moment and really hoping for. There's no news on a third season just yet, but fingers crossed that may well happen. Last year when the show premiered, I got to speak to Shannon Lee about a range of different things, but we did also talk about the concept of Warrior, the TV show, which was first pitched by her father in the early 1970s. Here's a little clip taken from that episode, which I thought might be quite nice to include just before we throw over to my Joe Taslim conversation. This clip has some intro and outro music on it. It is the theme to the Warrior TV show. The Warrior TV theme is available to download as a digital single wherever it is that you get your music. It is released by Milan Records, and the composers are H. Scott Salinas and Reza Safinia. So here we go then. Here is Shannon Lee talking to me last year about the origins and the importance of the Warrior TV show. This is taken from episode 37 of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. So here we go.
This show doesn't exist without Justin Lin. I really have to give him the proper acknowledgement, because even though I had this material in my possession, I was not actively doing anything with it. I had a lot on my plate and many other things I was looking at, and this is one of many treatments that my father wrote. And so while I always had sort of in the back of my mind that I wanted to do something, up to that point in time, I hadn't found like the right partners or really gone out and actively pitched this specific show idea. Yeah. And it was Justin who called me up out of the blue and said, you know, I've always heard this story that your father had created this show for Warner Brothers back in the day and then wasn't cast and for reasons of race and prejudice and all that. Is that a true story? And I said, yes, it's absolutely true. And I actually have the treatment for the show. And he was like, oh, my gosh, do you think there's any way that I could see it, and do you have any interest in making this show? And I said, well, yeah, I would love to. So we got together and I showed him the treatment, and he was really blown away by it. He thought, you know, he could really see what my father was trying to do, and that it was, you know, even though it's written in a much more 70s episodic television style of storytelling, the concept and the kernel of it was very forward thinking and very still entertaining. And so he said, you know, we should make this show the way your father wanted it to be made.
What do you think your dad would have made of the show?
You know, I think he would be thrilled. I think he is thrilled.
Yeah.
there has been a really great energy and enthusiasm around the show from the beginning. And I think everyone is really excited to be a part of the show. I think the way it came together and you know, was really beautiful and with a lot of energy. And I think that he would be thrilled to see his story idea brought to life, finally, like, front and center in media with a Asian cast and a beautiful cast throughout.
Yeah. He might have wondered how it took so long to get the show made.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't here to like push it through. So.
but it's true to say that, you know, you just don't see a show like this. You know, the issues that Bruce Lee was dealing with in his lifetime are still issues that are being dealt with today, in, you know, accurate representation and diversity. You know, he must have been, you know, obviously thrilled that the show now is being done. But even 10 years ago, would this show have been made?
You know, I don't know. It feels like the show was made in exactly the right time. We did start working on it prior to, like, the current administration being in office and prior to some of the more prevalent representation things that have happened in culture for Asians in particular. But at the same time, there was already a lot of this conversation happening, and it felt like if a show could really get made that in this way and to the degree that we wanted it to be made, that now is the time that it could be made.
There we are. That is Shannon Lee there talking to me on episode 37 of the Kung Fu Movie Guy podcast. I should say Andrew Koji was also a guest on that particular episode of the show. And I have also spoken to Jason Tobin, who plays Young Jun in the show brilliantly, I might add. And a couple of episodes back, I also spoke to the Warrior stunt coordinator and the fight choreographer and the second unit director, Brett Chan. Multifaceted role there for Brett. All of those guys are just so awesome. They're super talented and great people who kindly took the time to talk to me for this podcast. So if you are a Warrior fan, then please do go back, check out the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast archive to listen back to those conversations. Plenty of audio goodness there for all you fans of Warrior. The Kung Fu Movie Guy podcast is available at all the usual podcast providers. So we are on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and various other places, I'm sure. We are now coming to the end of this current run of podcasts. I think we have one more episode yet to release in this season. Mike Fury and I will, of course, be doing our usual end-of-year roundup show that lands usually around Christmas time. We were actually speaking the other day about this and how we're going to go about recording it, and it may well be that it's the first end-of-year podcast which we won't be doing in person, that we will be doing over the internet, but we shall see. I mean, who knows what the situation is going to be by December here. So look, there may well be a special show released before then, if indeed the opportunity does arise. Of course, the best way to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes of the show is to subscribe using your podcast provider. And if you do subscribe, then please do remember to leave us a star rating or write up a little review. That all helps to raise the profile of this show, and it helps to spread the good word of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Okay, then, I think that is more than enough from me for now. Let me throw over to my conversation with the great Joe Taslim. A little bit of business up front before we launch into this. There is a little bit of swearing during this chat, so if that does bother you, then you have been warned. I also feel like I do need to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. Now, usually we're pretty good at not giving too much away on this show. However, I should just flag up that we do basically give away some huge plot details in the raid and a little bit of The Night Comes for Us as well, but not as much as the raid. So look, to be fair, I would be mightily surprised if you're sat there listening to this now and you haven't seen the raid or The Night Comes for Us. But anyway, in case you haven't, then, well, first of all, you need to watch both of those films immediately. And also, maybe when we start talking about those movies on this chat, you just skip ahead, however you do that. Anyway, I thought I would just flag that early on before we launch into the show. I will be back at the end of this conversation to sign off properly and to also provide a little bit more information. But until then, let me now throw over to my conversation with the great actor, action star, and martial artist, Joe Taslim. We're talking to you in Jakarta. The lockdown restrictions, coronavirus is going on. You personally, Joe, I mean, how are you dealing with all of this? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, me and my family, since March, I think Indonesia started its first lockdown in March.
Yeah.
And then we opened a little bit around August, and then we now in the second lockdown. So this is the second lockdown.
Okay.
But it's not compared to, you know, like Italy, like China back in, you know, when they were doing lockdown. Indonesia, I think, I don't know why, but here it's pretty relaxed. People can still, you know, restaurants, bars, or like, you know, clubs closed down. But people, you know, it's a big country, you know, 30 million people live in Jakarta. So people are still doing their activities here. It's not like quiet. And then there's a couple like production, like small production that not involving too many people still can shoot like commercial, like TV stuff. Yeah.
That's
good. It's semi-lockdown.
So Joe, are you working at the moment or what's your schedule looking like?
I'm doing nothing, just staying home. I think the second lockdown, me and my family mostly home. We only go out for buying stuff. And then for like important meeting, I have to go out and I go out. But mostly we're not doing anything, not going anywhere until next week. I think the next week they're going to open the lockdown.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good. At least we get to enjoy your work that you managed to film, obviously, before the lockdown.
Yes.
So that's good. We should talk a little bit about Warrior, obviously, Warrior Season 2. So I'm a huge Warrior fan. I absolutely love Warrior. And I did binge watch the second season of this. It's such a fantastic show. Joe, you're excellent in it. Just tell me about the show. How did you first hear about it? Did you go through an auditioning process then to get involved in Warrior?
Back in 2012, when I was working in Vancouver with Justin Lin, the director.
Yeah.
Justin mentioned about the show. He mentioned that he's developing the show based on Bruce Lee's vision. And then when it happens, he asked me, when it happens, I want you to be part of it. And then 5 years later, like 2017, I got a call from Justin. And then, you know, he told me that the show is on. Then he's going to send me, there's a role for me that he wanted me to play. And he sent me Leong and then all the details about him. And then I love Justin Lin, man. Love Justin Lin. He's like great friends, great director.
What a legend. We should say you worked with him. So were you working on Fast and Furious 6?
Yeah, Fast. Yeah. Yeah, two projects with them already, two movies. And then, of course, I want to be part of whatever he's doing. And I want to be part of Bruce Lee's legacy. I want to be part of this amazing cast and crew of Warrior. And then without no hesitation, I would like, you know, just, you know, let me know if anytime I'm in, of course.
Yeah.
And then I don't really need to read anything, to be honest. But, you know, because, you know, but he's like, I need you to read it first. I want you to like it, you know, just in case if you think there's something you could add. And then we discuss from there. And then, voila, season one.
Yeah. And Leong is, I mean, Leong's like the equivalent of our Sam in a way. I mean, he's the main rival. So Justin saw you and was like, you would be perfect for this role. Why do you think that was?
I don't know, to be honest. Justin believed in me in terms of what I can do, what I can deliver. And obviously, Leong, most of his scenes involving action, involving complex choreography, then Justin knew that I could convey, I could deliver that. Yeah. And for Leong itself, if you watch the first season, he's kind of like Shadow, right? He's like very mysterious. Not much about him, except his relationship with Mai Ling. But outside of that, he's quite like gray.
Yeah.
He's like the protector of Long Zi, which is, you know, he, based on the root of his character's journey, is love towards Mai Ling. And season two, we see him grow. We grow further. We see him grow more deeper towards the relationship towards Mai Ling. And then he's, if you season one, you see him fight for love. Season two, you see him more of that. You see him that he has, he's conscious that sometimes to protect the one you love is not about to be in front of her, like, you know, getting the bullets or stuff like that, but you also need to make sure she's doing right for her own good, you know. So I'm glad that it grows so good.
This is the first time where you've had that opportunity to really explore and develop a character over two seasons. You get to really, you know, go into quite a bit of depth here. I mean, that from an acting perspective, Joe, I mean, is this a bit of a dream role for you, would you say?
I love the growth of this character, you know, because when we were shooting season one, I had no idea what's going to happen in season two, but I believe Jonathan Tropper, because he said, I have a plan for your character. I mean, if you want to do another season with me, because I signed only for one season back in when we were shooting. Yeah. And then, do you like this production? Do you like your role? Do you like the show? And I said, like, are you kidding me? This is the best. This is my Warrior is my first American TV show, and then it was so special, the first season. And I said, anytime you want me, if you trust me to come back for season two, three, four, just let me know. I'm in, because the bonding of us is really good, and I love everybody there. I'm happy in the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then the journey grow, and what I like about compared to movies. Because not much time to develop character. If you're not a lead character, you're not like number one to number five. The other characters just supporting, you know, the mission of the movie, you know, the idea of the movie. The lead characters. But in a TV show, the great thing about TV show is always growing equally. Because sometimes focusing on the lead, and then we see the writer want to do something else by creating a subplot about the other characters, so it's more rich, and there's always potential for you to grow. Where do you? We don't know where you could grow, but we know your character is going to grow if you're doing it right, if you're doing it great.
Yeah.
So that promise is real. That's what I like. I like that kind of it's not great, but you know, if you keep doing good. Your job, if you deliver a great job, you know your character's going to grow better and better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like that.
And Lee Hong really does step up in this second season, but we should say that all the characters do. They really go into quite a lot of depth around, you know, Assam, and then Diane's role as well. She really, you know, steps up, and, you know, they've all got their character arcs. I spoke to Brett Chan, the stunt coordinator, and he said, you know, when you're filming this thing, everyone's training together, everyone's working out, and there's a great sort of family atmosphere. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah.
That everyone, there's a yeah. great camaraderie there.
Yeah, I think this is quite similar to Indonesia's production.
Yeah.
Compared to the other international production that I've been, this is very, really, really similar to Indonesia's production, because we train every day in Indonesia for Rate 1, that comes for us, Rate 2. And this one is very similar. And then I appreciate that so much, because it's very important for all fighters and actors to train together. It's not only for physicality, to memorize clear choreography, but it's the bonding.
Yeah.
Because when you meet each other and you become friends, and then by the time we shoot the scene, no matter how hard the scene is, you know that it's just your energy is just one already.
Yeah.
So I think Brad Chan and his team, you know, really, really amazing approach to just put all of us together and train together. Even though we only have one fight scene, one small scene here and there, he said, if you can come and train together, it's good. It's not just for the action, it's for drama too.
Yeah,
because once you believe in each other, believe, and you become good friends, and then you want to support your friends, right?
Yeah.
And by supporting your friends, not trying to steal anyone's spotlight, you become a one unity. That's good for the show. That's why I felt that in the first season, and I felt that as well, more stronger in season two, because you know, like, the chemistry is stronger
compared to, I guess, the film work that you've done, Joe. Making a TV show, you know, the shooting schedules are a lot tighter. That obviously has an impact on your action and your fight scenes. How have you found that transition? I mean, is it has it been surprising?
It's quite challenging, because I mean, like, in TV, in movies too, in international, like American movies, they don't really give much time to shoot, because. Because obviously we have second unit that's going to pick up all the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then the actors just going to do the most important stuff, which is the fight that we can see the face, and then the fight that we can see the drama element in it. But like the others, like when you're falling or crawling, whatever is that, like fight in a wide shot, everything in second unit, second unit is going to shoot that one, that part. In Indonesia, we shoot everything. You know, we shoot even the actors did the previous. We did the previous. Yeah. We did the video board. So the good thing doing that, by the time we shoot the movie, we're ready. It's just like, you know, you just pick it up like that, because you did that. You know, you shot the video board. You shot the previous. Now you just put the costume and the lightings and all the technical stuff, and then it's like 70% is already there.
Yeah.
So in TV, the challenge is because the time is short, and then it's quite a pressure, because you know you don't have a lot of time. As an actor, you know, like, the fight is quite complex. The fight is pretty complex, and then you know that I cannot mess the take.
Yeah.
I need to get it less than 5 takes or 4 takes, because one is we don't have the stamina. It's not me. I have to think about the other people that are involved in the fight. Stamina. We don't have the time, and we don't have the day. Maybe no extra day. So the pressure is pretty real. But like we just discussed before, because the training, like what Brad Chan did, the training is quite intense. Like every day from Monday to Friday, like from morning till like lunchtime.
Yeah.
So stamina wise, we were ready. We were so ready, and all the fighters, they train hard as well. So by the time we shoot the scene, we know for sure that we can do this. We can do this. We can finish this in 4 hours, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then my part as an actor, that probably the center of the fight, if the fight is like my fight, it's just I have to be really focused, and I have to really like make sure that I don't waste anybody's energy and my energy. And then I have to deliver golden take each take.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's quite challenging.
Wow, I guess you really know how to fight.
But still, I can handle him.
Warrior is a distinctly Chinese show in origin. It's a Chinese story, you know, first Chinese immigrants settling in Chinatown in San Francisco. Obviously, you are Indonesian, but we should say you do have Chinese heritage, don't you, in your family? Yes.
Yes, yes. My mom and dad, they're the fourth generation already in Indonesia.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's quite a while. But I'm Chinese descent, born and raised in Indonesia.
I read somewhere that your parents were quite influential in getting you into the martial arts to begin with. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
My dad, he's a big fan of martial art. He's a big fan of sports in general. So when I was a kid, I remember that because we were poor. So my dad said, like, I asked my dad, I want to go to music school or acting school, whatever that. But as I like, he said to me that, well, for you guys, that to be able to, you know, pay the school fee on time is already a luxury. So don't ask anything else.
Right.
So we were like very limited by when I was a kid. But my dad said, and there's a I was born in South Sumatra.
Yeah.
And then a lot of like martial arts, because like back in 1981, I was born early 90s. So there are like people want to introduce sports, like wushu arrived in Indonesia around late 90s.
Yeah.
And judo, nobody wants to train judo, right? So it's free.
Yeah.
So my dad said, like, you know what, you want to do something else, like, I want you guys to focus to do sport. And then we noticed that that club, judo club, wushu club, and that taekwondo club, you can just train there for free. So he put me in a taekwondo club for 3 months, and then I was okay. He said, like, nah, maybe not, this is not for you. And then he moved me again to wushu for like 2-3 years, and then I lost a lot, so many times in national championship. He said, maybe this is not for you. Yeah. I say he moved me to judo in the end.
Yeah.
He moved me to judo around 1994 95.
Okay.
And then I won my first national championship 1996.
Yeah.
So he's nah. Okay, you can win this sport. You can. I think this sport fits you.
Yeah.
And then started from there, and I joined national team for 15 years, and then judo is my main sport. But luckily, because I've been moved to one martial art to another, I have the muscle memory.
Yeah.
I have the flexibility of wushu. I have the kick techniques from taekwondo, and he also put me in a boxing training for my leg moves. So I have a lot in my library before I joined judo. So having that is good.
Yeah. And Joe, you can see that on screen, because whenever I see you in a film, you know, you can just tell there's something about you, the way you move. This is someone who has a competitive and martial arts training background. That's the sort of stuff that, you know, it's really hard for actors who don't have this background to necessarily, you know, to be shown as convincing in those fight scenes.
Yeah.
But you definitely do. You do have that. You ended up doing martial arts, but that was the thing you wanted to do, was act.
Yeah, like, I love arts.
Yeah,
but you know, arts is not cheap. You got to go to the music school or acting school. You got to pay. So my dad was poor back in old days, and then. But it's funny, because when I was a kid, every time, you know, after he beat me up if I made a mistake, you know, typical Asian parents.
Right.
So after I
he was pretty strict then.
And, yeah, he's very disciplined, you know, but very positive still. It wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
So after I got beat up, and then when I was still crying, he felt guilty. He always, you know, with his motor, his like old motorbike, he's like, okay, come with me. And he took me to the theater. So every time, so like twice a week, every time, like I was pretty naughty, you know, as you can tell, like twice a week to go to theater, it means twice a week I got beat up. So when I was in the theater, it calmed me down.
Yeah.
And then I made a promise to myself when I was a kid. I remember it's like Alain Delon's movie, Chuck Norris movies. So I made a promise to myself, like, this place is so sacred. It's so nice. I love this place. It cheered me up. And I want to be the people that working on that large screen someday when I grow up. So that's my dream when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it went 2 decades to something else. So it's okay.
Yeah. Your professional judo career did last for a while. I know that I believe the only reason you stopped was because of a knee injury. Is that right?
Yeah, I got I had my first injury when I 2000, and
sure.
Then it was my right leg ACL, and then the left knee ACL problem as well in 2007, and that's why I retired in 2009.
Yeah, and you're only in your late 20s then, but you could have continued competing. Do you think you would have continued if that hadn't have happened?
I love judo. I still love judo. I still train once in a while. Well, I mean, it's very hard when you have both of your knees injured. But if I didn't have those injuries, I probably still fighting now.
Yeah.
And still acting, you know, both. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Once you had retired from judo, you moved into acting. You made a few supporting roles in Indonesian films. Before yeah. the raid came along, did you want to make it in action films, or were you just happy to sort of act and appear in any kind of film?
Yeah, it's pretty funny in my case. My first movie was horror movie. The second yeah. movie was thriller. The Raid was my first action movie. But yeah. I know for sure because of my background, I can deliver. I can play an action movie, an action character, and can do a lot of fight scenes because of my experience. But the funny thing, in terms of acting in general, I just feel alive to be on set. Yeah. I just feel great playing characters. I just, you know, I watch a lot of. You know, I rarely watch action movies, to be honest, I got to say to you. I watch mostly drama movies.
Sure.
And then, yeah, and then that's why I think my benefit as a martial artist and then have so many martial arts background, I can convey an action scenes maybe with my experience better than people who don't have those.
Yeah.
But for me, acting in general, it's just playground. Maybe I could just tell you, it's my playground. I don't feel like working when I'm on set, when I'm shooting anything. I feel like this is something that is so much fun to play with. I don't really think about where my career is going to go, what kind of an award I have to get. It's just, for me, if I can do this for the rest of my life, just to shoot, you know, to be an actor, to play characters, to be on set, I would be very happy.
Then obviously The Raid comes along 2011. That completely transformed, that changed your life, didn't it, really? And then everyone else involved in that film as well. You know, it was such a global success. And it's such an amazing film as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. You had met Gareth before when he was doing Maranta. Is that right?
No, is a funny story. Because I did two movies before The Raid, and then both of them are not action.
Yeah.
So I watched Maranta on theater when I was with my Silat friends, because I was still in prepping for Southeast Asian Games.
Sure. You were still competing at that stage.
Yeah, training camp, and then it's a Silat movie, right? So my Silat friends took me to theater. We watched it together, and then I loved that movie. And I said, like, if I want to do, you know, guys, I told my friends, if I want to do something like involving action someday for like in my acting career, I need to work with this guy. So I hunt him down. So it's a bit scary. You know, I told him the story. He laughed. I Googled this guy, who's the director of this movie, and then I looked for his Facebook, and then I introduced myself, and then I asked for a chance. I asked him, I messaged him on Facebook. I said, like, I'm a judo athlete. I'm an actor. I did these two movies, but never. I need to, if I want to do an action movie, I want to do it with you because I think you're the perfect guy, and give me a chance. Give me one audition. And then he texted me back, and then I did the audition. I got the job. So it's funny. Thank you, Facebook.
Wow. So that's amazing. But I mean, was Maranta a big hit in Indonesia then when it came out? I mean, it was quite a success then when it was released there.
Maranta, it was Gareth Evans' debut in action. So it was okay. It was good, but not as big as The Raid.
The Raid, yeah.
It was, but people opened it. It's like eye-opener. Eye-opener for everybody. Like, oh, who is this character's director? You know, who is this Eco-wise? So introduce Eco and Gareth in a really... big time.
Yeah.
So, but the raid is smoothing everything up.
Yeah. Now, talk to me a little bit about The Raid. So, were you involved in the previs for that as well, and the UAce team and Eco and Yayan and all those guys when they were, you know, conceptualizing that movie? Were you involved at that stage, or, you know, when did you sort of arrive into that movie?
So in Indonesia, compared to Hollywood, it's a bit different. So in Indonesia, we have to do everything.
Sure.
We don't have double.
No.
Double is like,
it's a luxury. Like
fancy word,
yeah,
in Indonesia. Way before, but now, of course, for safety reason, we use double for very, very specific scenes.
Yeah.
But back in 2010, when we were shooting The Raid, we don't have that vocabulary, double, in the shooting area. So yeah, we did the previous ourselves. We trained, and then because I think Garrett said, like, you're a judo guy, we want you to have a little here and there to do judo technique. So we collaborated in terms of which part that you want to throw, which part is good to put a throw technique, and then we did that. But most of the choreography designed by Weistim and Gareth.
You get on pretty well with Eco. I know you've worked with him a few times now. So you get on well with Eco.
Yeah, we're best friends. We're like brothers. We can hear each other and laugh about it.
So yeah,
that's how cool.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What was the shoots like then when you made The Raid?
Well, after The Raid, everything feels like holiday.
Yeah.
I think that's probably that's quite good, quite the right analogy. But it's not like that. I mean, after The Raid, it's just like I graduated from that movie, kind of like, right?
Yeah.
If it's a school, because it was my first action movie, and then I learned a lot. I learned about fights, screen fights, reactions, and silat. And then, like, it just, for me, that opened so many things in my artistic senses.
Yeah.
So, but the process of shooting that one, it was pretty crazy. Maybe that's the word, crazy. So
it was quite a long shoot.
It's long shoot, and Gareth is he's a perfectionist.
Yeah.
A director. He's a very perfectionist director. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, like, 20 takes, 25, 40 takes, you name it.
Yeah.
If it's not right, he's just going to say again. Like, at some point, like, me, Kang Yaya, because my fighting with Kang Yaya and Mad Dog, who plays Mad Dog in the movie, there's one couple points in that fight we were like, oh, you just want to do it? And I'm like, just give it, just kick me hard. You know, maybe that's what he wanted. Just do it. And then we did it, still not the right shot. So, and then we just, like, maybe only God knows what he wanted. So we joked about it. But I mean, but the beauty of it, we have one of the best action movie all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's still amazing, and it was such a game changer. You know, everyone still compares, you know, even in Hollywood, you know, we want to do a version of The Raid, these action scenes need to look like The Raid. I mean, did you know when you were making it that was going to be the case? I mean, did you know when you were making it that you had something special?
Well, we had no idea, to be honest. But I know, because, like, I trust Gareth, you know. I trust Gareth since the first time I watched his movie, Merantau. Yeah. So it's all about trust. I think, yeah, that's probably the one thing that made us all strong. Me, Iko, Kang Yaya, we trust Gareth so much.
Yeah.
If you don't have trust, it's very hard to do 40, 30 takes for fight scenes, because it's painful. It is very exhausting and painful. But you know, your captain, the captain of the boat, is going to bring this boat to somewhere nice. We know that for sure. We knew it. So half of the shooting, we got the news that it's pre-sale, sold to so many territories. I think Sundance, our sales agent brought the couple clips of the movie to Sundance.
Yeah.
Or Cannes. So it sold to so many territories, and then the news just made us triggered us to just go more crazy, you know.
Yeah. And that must have been a great feeling, because I've spoken to Gareth about this. He said when it was shown, you were in the room, obviously, so you're seeing firsthand the reaction of the crowd, and the audience are just going mad for this film. That must have been a really cool experience, you know, to...
Yeah,
you know, all that hard work and effort to get that kind of response.
Yeah, it was in Toronto, global premiere.
Yeah,
and it was the first time the movie shown to the world. I think it was in Toronto, and then me, Iko, Garrett was there. We were there, and then it was like unbelievable, man. It was like unforgettable moments because Garrett told me. He's a genius director, man. So he told me that, you know, like in my vision, when you die, they need to shut up. They need to be surprised. They need to get, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then he told me earlier, the moment that your character dies, the moment that's going to twist the power of the movie. People think that you are the strongest in this movie, that then Mad Dog is going to take that from you. And people is going to go all attention to Mad Dog. Then that's going to make the final fight work. So he designed everything so detailed. So, but when we were watching the movie in Toronto, and then I was there, and then by the time when my character died, people were like watching a concert there, right? They were like, they just like, it's so different than watching like more normally they watch movies. So people are just shouting like watching concert.
Yeah.
So when the character died, everybody just silent. It was like a graveyard.
Yeah.
And then he poked me. Yes. Yes, we made it. We got it. No, they're gonna love this movie.
You be careful.
It wasn't soon after that you were working in Hollywood. So did you you were getting quite a few offers then as soon as the raid hit?
The raid phenomena in Indonesia, it was crazy, and then I got people offered me like works and movies here and there.
Did you want to continue doing the martial arts thing, or were you quite happy to, you know, progress in action movies?
For me, if I see a movie, I don't box myself just to want to do action after the raid success and then probably thinking I'm just going to be the next action star. For me, I always believe that in any projects involving action, you know, action genre, we need to really understand like the character. We need to understand the fight choreography, the mission, why we fight and everything. Like, because I learned that from Gareth, that the fight scene, if it's just a fight scenes and people just want to see people, two characters killing each other without feeling anything, then it's just a popcorn, straight to DVDs kind of action.
Yeah.
Easy to say.
Yeah.
So there's no way in it. So I was careful choosing any action movies I want to do, because I don't want to do 5-6 movies a year. And then turned out all of them, I don't feel happy, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's better to wait. I have to trust. Back again, it's about trust. I have to trust the director. I have to trust the choreographer. So So I did the raid, and then Fast and Furious 2012.
Yeah, yeah. Now, were you surprised then when you're working at such a huge production like Fast and Furious, and also Star Trek Beyond, because you had a good fight scene in that as well? Was there a comparison to make? I mean, they're huge productions. How did it compare to, you know, making The Raid?
Well, my first international movie was Fast and Furious. It was totally two different worlds. I was surprised, and then I adapted nicely.
Yeah. Were you in London for that?
Yeah, I was in London for 4 months.
Wow.
And we trained, I think, Olivia Schneider, the choreographer.
Yeah.
And then the good, which he watched, he loved the Raids. He loved the Raids series. And then he trusts me so much. The good yeah. thing about it, because, and then Justin as well. You know, I remember, you know, the fight in the Waterloo fight, this Waterloo yeah, Station yeah. fight. We finished that fight in one day, and like one day we shoot only like 9 hours, like 8 to 9 hours.
Okay. And just to put that in perspective, Joe, I mean, roughly how long were you spending filming a fight scene in the raid, would you say?
Well, one fight scene, me and Mad Dog, that fight scene, 101, 2 minutes, close to 3 minutes, we shot that in 7 days.
Wow. Yeah.
And one day is like 14 hours at least.
Yeah.
So can you imagine for me to finish one quite complex fight scene, because I need to fight 3 cops, and after that I need to fight Tyrese yeah. and Sun Kang.
Yeah.
Everything shot in 9 hours. Wow. So I was but you know, like I was so glad because of the raid, because if I didn't do the raid, it was impossible to do that.
Mm.
It was impossible. So my experience, I worked so hard, like, you know, very detailed. So I have experience. I have this muscle memory. Yeah. Because with hundreds of thousand takes total in that movie, so my muscle memory, my instinct of doing a screen fight was pretty thick. They only did to show me the fight. I trained for like, you know, a couple hours, like, because they limit the time, right? You only come for like 1 or 2 hours and then you have to go home. You mm-hmm. cannot just train every day and mm-hmm. then as long as you want. So you train again. So probably 4 or 5 sessions, maybe total 10 hours training. And then we shoot that for in 9 hours to finish. And yeah, I was so lucky. I was so lucky that the muscle memory and the raid experience that helped me a lot. So we didn't waste so much time. So like 1-2 takes, we just, okay, we got it, move. We got it, move. We got it, move. So
yeah.
it was fast. I was actually a bit overwhelmed. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you sure you got it? Are you sure? Because I got used to shooting like 30 takes, 20 takes, you know?
Yeah.
Hulu, you stop it at once. You want to get me killed?
I have to talk about The Night Comes for Us, because that's, you know, uh-huh. one of my favorite martial arts films of the last decade. It's such a good movie. Reuniting with Ico, did you think we've got to top the raid somehow? What was your thought process before you went into that film?
So that Night Comes for Us is my first action lead role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say. So, the director is different. The director is Timo, directed that one.
Timo, yeah, there. From the Mo Brothers.
Yeah, the Mo Brothers. And then Timo, his background is horror movie. So he tried to combine slasher action. So you can see the movie is so greedy and so violent.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
yeah.
Even more violent than The Raiders, which is quite an achievement.
Timo's background influenced a lot in choreography. Yeah.
There's so many moments in that film where there's little flashes of sort of gore or sort of extreme violence that you'd only find only a horror director could come up with some of that stuff, surely.
Timo, every time Weiss team designed something and Timo involved in terms of his vision, where he wants to go with the fight and how the fatalities of the fight, you know, how this character is going to die, how this character is going to get paralyzed, what's going to happen, they're going to slow him down. So Timo involved in terms of that points of the characters destroyed. So I want this character to get, you know, chainsaw, whatever. That's all Timo's vision.
Sure. The fights with Ico where you bite the razor once it's in your mouth, I'm guessing that's a Timo thing.
That's a Timo thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I thought it might be.
He's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, what a fantastic, I mean, it's an exhausting film, but I mean, what was it like to make? It feels quite intense, particularly that final fight scene with Ico, because you're just throwing each other around there. So quite intense experience to make that film then?
Well, that fight especially was super fun to shoot. Because me and Ico were so close already. So that there are a couple of times that I hit him for real, a couple of times he hit me for real. But like I said before, we laugh about it. We're like, oh my God, you hit me for real. Stop. Like, check. We don't want to get the bruise because it's involving continuity. It's not because of the pain. We just more worry about the continuity. I cannot get you know, cuts or bruise because we were shooting this fight. It's not yet. So those things, the fight itself was super fun. And then we had so much fun in it, involving a lot of pain for sure. We shot that in 8 days. Wow. And then, a little bit of injury here and there. I think I kind of, my knuckle got injured and it swelled for like a week, and the Iko got injured, his shoulder.
Yeah.
So, but that's beautiful injuries, you know, injuries because, you know, you're doing something that you love. So I don't know, this is pretty quite weird to say, but we enjoyed the pain.
But I think it makes it better in a way, you know, it makes the fight scenes at least more authentic because there's no hiding, is there? Like that film, it's you, it's Iko, you're just going at it and there's no stunt doubles. You can tell there's no doubles.
Yeah.
But you quite like that style of action then, do you? That sort of really, you know, pretty intense, but that kind of hard hitting, that authenticity. Do you prefer to watch that, would you say, Joe?
I like grounded. I like the fight that feels real compared to the fight feels flashy. So for me, every time I work on something that we discussed first, and I said, like, you gotta make the fight believable. That's why Warrior is there. It's very grounded. It's very believable.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a movie. Of course, the fight has been designed, but we got to give that illusion to the audience that they need to believe that this fight. If I train kung fu for 5 years and I'm involved, if I get involved in a fight, that I probably could pull this off. You know what I'm saying? It has to be believable. So that's my style of action. I don't really like the wire stuff, except if it's for something like, if you get crashed by a car, somebody needs to pull you with the wire. You know?
Sure.
If you do superhero movies with, you know, not human strength, of course, if you punch somebody, they need to fly somewhere.
Yeah.
But if they're human, you gotta make it grounded. More better.
You're a judo practitioner. You're a martial artist. Yeah. You've done your own fight choreography. So you're often coming to projects or working with fight choreographers with, you know, quite a lot of knowledge already. How do you find that then when someone else is telling you the moves? I mean, you're cool with that?
My style is when I work with the choreographers, like new choreographers that I just met. My style, if I don't have to change anything, I don't want to change anything.
Yeah.
I respect that people who design the choreography, they, you know, they put them their time, they put their energy. So my job as an actor is to make that design great.
Yeah.
So if I have to change something, it doesn't change the dance flow. It just if I have the choreography, I need to elbow a guy with the right hand, and I see from that angle, and then the section before that part, it's just easier to elbow that guy with the left elbow. So it doesn't change anything, but I try to make it my way, without changing anything. So I think it's as much as I can for sure. But if it's really really doesn't make any sense, I have responsibility to say something, but it's very rare. Usually, I just make it smoother. I don't change, but I make it smooth. Yeah.
Working with Iko again, I know you've worked with the UA's team again, Hit and Run. I think they provided fight choreography there for that movie as well. So, you guys are great together. So I'm guessing more projects maybe down the line, do you think?
Yeah, well, every time I meet Iko, I always say, like, we need to do something at least one more time.
Yeah.
And then that's in a bucket list for sure for both of us. And then I don't know when it's going to happen, but I knew for sure, like, we need to collaborate again at least one more time before we get too old, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the plan. Maybe 2-3 years after the later. I don't know. Let's see.
Very well. You've chosen to die.
I've got to talk to you about Mortal Kombat while I've got you, Joe, because this is a very highly anticipated film. I don't know how much you can actually say about it because it's not out for a little while. But being involved in such a big, you know, franchise as Mortal Kombat, I mean, that must have been exciting to be involved in.
Superman.
Yeah. Did you play the game?
I used to play the game. Yeah, I played the game, man, when I was a kid. I played the game when it was on Sega, I think. It was on Sega, I remember. So, yeah, it's crazy. So when I got that offer, I was like, oh, really? Oh, wow. And if they have not told me the character, they said, like, you got an offer from Warner Brothers, the Mortal Kombat movie. Oh, that's nice. I mean, like, who?
Yeah.
who they want me to play? And then they wanted you to play Sub-Zero. I was like, wow. I played that character when I was a kid.
Yeah, he was the one I always played. Yeah.
And he's so cool.
So cool.
It's almost like when you Sub-Zero, like your friend's going to say, you're cheating.
Yeah.
No, you cannot just freeze me and then
walk slowly towards me and the uppercut.
You know, it kills like quarter of the energy, like the health.
Yeah. Quarter of the health. But I mean, that's a dream role. I mean, come on, that's amazing. And
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Making that film, you're in Australia making that movie. It seemed like, again, another great cast. You've got yourself, Ludi Lin, Louis Tan, Max Huang. They're great martial artists as well. So that was a fun shoot then, was it?
That was super fun to shoot, yeah. I don't know. It's very hard not to spoil anything. but the costumes are amazing.
Yeah.
When it's the time they release something about the costume, you're gonna see the costume. They're like so accurate, but with more cool stuff on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I know that Greg Russo, the writer, has been online. He said already, this is an R-rated Mortal Kombat. This isn't going to be, you know, the sort of PG-13 that the original Mortal Kombat film was. So the action, I'm guessing, is pretty intense, a bit different to the original Mortal Kombat film.
I think this one is more violent.
Yeah.
And then I think I love the two previous Mortal Kombat as well. They were super fun. But this one, because R rating, you can feel the way it's just more heavy in terms of the fight, choreography looks, and the story as well. It's just more way. It's just probably, what do you call it? It's very hard. I don't want to spoil anything.
I don't want to get you in trouble, Joe.
It's just, in my opinion, this Mortal Kombat is something that when you compare to the two previous Mortal Kombat, they were super fun, but this one, because it's been like decades since the last one, right?
Yeah.
So this one, with the technology nowadays, with, you know, everything is improved, you're going to see something like super cool, but still has the Mortal Kombat route.
Yeah.
But it just 3-4 times cooler. And then it's R rating, the costume's super nice. South Australia is super beautiful, and all the cast and crew are super amazing. So this is something that I believe next year when they release the movie, that's gonna cheer the fans. For non-fans, of course, they're gonna fall in love and play the game after they watch the movie. That's probably 2-3 things that I could say I'm positive. Yeah,
you've got to win the established fans over, but you know, this is the chance to, you know, launch a whole new sort of film franchise in a way, a whole new set of characters. And I think that's James's ambition with this, is to try and, you know, make it more of a rounded cinematic universe. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yes. I think that's the right way to say it.
Yeah. the
potential of Mortal Kombat is very big, because, you know, the universe is so big.
So many characters. Yeah.
So many characters with their own arcs.
Yeah.
It's just something like Warner Brothers probably planned something longer. Like a journey for this title. Yeah.
And I must say, when you first did the costume for Sub-Zero, then that must have been an exciting day, I'd imagine, putting on the costume.
The Cappy Ireland, she did an amazing job with the design. Yeah. I fell in love straight away from the first look before they improved it. And then the first designer was like, wow, this is amazing, because it's very accurate from Bihan's background.
Yeah.
So he's a Lin Kuei and he's Chinese descent. And then, you know, for sure, like the costume people, they did an amazing job with the research, because all the details, the emblems and everything, it's just so accurate. And then they made it super cool. Like, yeah. It just, Sub-Zero's costume is something that probably for all Sub-Zero fans, they're going to love it so much.
It's hinting towards a sort of origin story in some regards. I think we can probably guess slightly there what the story that might be. But obviously, traditionally, Sub-Zero is wearing the mask. You don't see, you know, the actor behind it. Did it require a big sort of acting focus as well as the action?
For this one, for Sub-Zero, I think the dramatic performance and the action performance is quite equal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yeah.
But it's not, I think what's great with Greg Russo as a writer and then Simon McCoy as a director, they're trying hard, and I think they're gonna get recognition and appreciation for trying so hard to make the Mortal Kombat not just just a movie of like good guys, bad guys fighting in a tournament, and that's it, with a very shallow story. But the script and Mortal Kombat, the movie has a really good arc for each characters, and the drama inside the movie is also strong that motivates why they have to fight each other. Yeah. So I think that's something special about this one.
Yeah.
Because I think the two previous Mortal Kombats, it's just because to satisfy the game fans, mm-hmm. and they made them like it feels like very original, like the game itself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, gathering all the fighters from the Netherrealm, gathering all the fighters from the Earthrealm, and they need to go to one place and they fight. But this one is just more than that. This one has more depth.
Great.
Compared to the other two, the previous two.
I want that medal, or I'll take your life.
I haven't seen The Swordsman. I know it's only just come out in Korea. Again, that looks like another really fascinating role for you. I've only seen the trailer, Joe, I'm afraid, so I haven't actually seen that movie. I can't wait to see it. Obviously, you're huge in Indonesia, in Hollywood as well. You know, you're leading big franchise movies, and then appearing in South Korean cinema as well. I mean, you seem to be spoiled for choice at the moment, Joe. Is that the way it is? I mean, you must have, you know, quite a pick of different projects that you could focus on next. Is that fair to say?
I like to challenge myself.
Yeah.
I like to challenge myself working. I want to work in different productions. And Korea, the growth of Korean cinema is super of the last 10 years,
absolutely. Some
and
of the best
they
films.
Have great writers, great directors, great actors that intrigued me, that caught my attention, that hey, they have so many great writers, and I watch a lot of Korean movies, and then great directors and great actors, because they're great. You see, they're actors. If you like to read subtitles, they're great, but if you don't like the subtitle, maybe it's hard. But and then it caught my attention that I think I went to Korea, and then, you know, I like to introduce myself. So I met the people in the industry there, and then I told them that, like, looking forward to work here someday. And then I think they gave me an award in 2016 because, like, Asian actors who made it out there outside of Asia. So that opportunity in the red carpet in Korea, I said, like, I want to work in this country. I want to learn something new. I want to learn how the Korean people work. I want to involve myself as an actor in addition at Korean cinema. So yeah, they hurt me.
And is that something then that you would anticipate working in Korea again, do you think?
Why not? I mean, it's very hard because I don't speak Korean. I don't speak Korean language. So it's very selected roles I can play.
Sure.
I need to you know, learn the Korean language if I want to work in a wider roles.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then Swordsman is something that I think the biggest challenge in my life as an actor, because all my lines there are in two different languages that I don't speak.
Wow. Right.
I have to speak Korean. There's a lot of monologues, lines in Korean. Then another language is Manchurian language, which is already not many people say speak that language anymore.
No.
Yeah, right. It's not Mandarin. It's Manchurian language. And then even in China, nobody speaks Manchurian anymore.
No.
It's a no man's language. So, yeah. And I have to speak two languages that I don't speak. And I have to learn both of them in Korea in my hotel room every night. It felt like prepping for final tests. College or something.
yeah. And this is the sort of stuff that on an international release, unless you speak the language, it's the kind of thing that most viewers might not notice, but you've got to nail that language, haven't you, for the local market, or else that's really tricky,
the pressure is so high,
a lot of pressure,
because when I was there, I'm the only foreign actor there, and then when I have to deliver my performance, my drama performance, you know, all the ears are ready to catch.
Yeah, they're listening out. Absolutely.
Yeah, because like, okay, this foreign actor is going to say something. Let's hear what he can say. Can he speak Korean? So the pressure is bigger than the job.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Okay, this is something. I think I must be crazy. Why I took this job? This is this job. But I love it. I loved it. I love, because all the cast and crew, they helped me out with the process. And then, and from what I heard from the reviews, all the native Korean speakers there, they say like I pronounce everything pretty good.
Good.
So I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that the nightmare for me, if they said, what the heck this guy's talking about?
I've killed many men with this pole, but still, I don't want to kill you yet.
You have been quite selective in the films that you have been making and television roles as well. It's not as if you're churning out films. You know, you are being quite strategic as well, I guess, in some of your choices. You must have dream roles, projects that you would like to do.
Dream role for me, I want to play, if it's action, I want to play an action movie with really twisted story.
Okay, yeah.
Because I love Park Chan-wook, right? I'm a big fan of Park Chan-wook.
Yeah.
So I love the revenge trilogy of Park Chan-wook. I saw The Devil. So in my imagination, I was like, you know, those movies, if we put a really badass action scenes with that story, it's going to be something crazier, because the story itself is just twisted, performances are crazy, story is just not, it's not common, it's something always like, it's bold.
Yeah.
The idea of the movie is pretty bold, and then we put a badass action scene in it, it's going to be the new concept, the new formula of movie genre.
Yeah.
So that's my dream. So to combine a really thick thriller with a really badass, like great quality action scenes.
Yeah.
That's probably a role, a story that I want to be playing with. I don't know which role. I mean, I could play the bad guy or good guy, but you know.
Yeah, you don't mind that, bad guy or good guy?
I don't mind, as long as the bad guy has good motivation.
Sure.
You know, has a good reason why. You know, because all great stories, the bad guy is not a bad guy.
Yeah.
A bad guy with a motivation because he captured wrong way. He was born wrong way. He was raised in a wrong way, and then he sees the world in a different way.
Yeah.
But for them, it's right. For them, that's the right thing.
Yeah. Well, The Night Comes for Us is exactly that, isn't it? You know, it's a sort of anti-hero story.
I like that. I don't like playing a character just for the sake. Even good guy for the sake of this character is so cool. You know, all the scenes he's in is so cool. No flaw. I don't like that. Even playing a good guy, you got to be selective. You got to know that you're playing a human. Even though it's fiction, but you're playing a human being that, of course, no, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
No good guys are perfect, but no bad guys are super evil, like pitch black evil, you know? There's always a light in it somehow.
That brings it nicely back to Lee Hong in a way, because obviously he's quite an anti-hero, but there's hidden depths to that character there. I'm just wondering, look, there's a lot of speculation about what's happening with Warrior. We found out recently it is going to go to HBO Max, so that's good. That sounds like there's the potential there for a new lease of life for the show. Look, I mean, I've seen season two. It's really, really good. It's great to see these characters evolving. It's so good. There's got to be a season three, surely, Joe?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. Like, we can, all of us, we are like, we can only hope that the two seasons are going to go to HBO Max and more people are going to see it.
Yeah.
And then I think we need the fans to push it if we want to see the more journey of the show, of each characters. So it's, but the, for now, we don't know yet. We don't know what's going to happen with the show. We really hope that at least we can do at least one season, like two seasons max. So, but we don't know, to be honest. So it depends on the fans. If they watch season two, they love it, and then it's going to be on HBO, and they more people love it, they have to push it, and then maybe it's going to change something.
But I'm guessing if you get that phone call again, Joe, we need you for season three, you'll be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
For
man.
Sure. Yeah.
I love them so much. I'm so happy in that show. Like genuinely happy.
Yeah, great. Well, fingers crossed that does happen, because there's still so much left to explore as well, isn't there?
You want to know where the background of Leung, right? You want to know where what kind of challenge he's going to face.
So absolutely.
It has to be. We need more season for sure.
Joe, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a real pleasure talking
to you. Thank you. Thank you so much. The pleasure all mine. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Joe Taslim there. Really cool to chat to Joe. I do hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to chat to Joe about his life, about his career. He's such a happy guy. I'm sure you could tell. I felt like I may have been pushing him slightly on the Mortal Kombat details. But hey, anticipation is building for that film. It is expected to land in 2021. That's a good reason to get excited for next year. A new Mortal Kombat movie on its way. You can currently watch Joe Taslim in the Cinemax original series Warrior. The second season of Warrior is now showing in the USA. I have to say also a huge thank you to two people for helping me out with this conversation and arranging this: Alyssa Michnovitz and Jessica Sanchez, both of which are publicists at HBO. Thank you so much for all your help in getting this one set up and actually having to rearrange it at one point as well. So a huge thank you, Alyssa and Jessica, for your help. Also a massive thank you to Joe Taslim, of course. It was actually pretty late at night in Jakarta when we were recording that conversation. So thank you, Joe. That is very much appreciated. For all the latest Joe Taslim news, of course, you can follow Joe on social media. He is on Instagram. His name there is Joe_Taslim. And he is also on Facebook. The name there is joetaslim.page. Okay, that is just about it for this episode of the show. Thank you so much for listening to it all the way to the very end. Thank you, Foo followers. That is very much appreciated. Do keep it locked to all the usual KFMG Pod social media channels for all the latest updates regarding our website, kungfumovieguide.com, and also this podcast. As I said, we do have one more episode left to share with you in this current run of episodes, and that episode will be released in 2 weeks' time. Until then, please do take care, stay safe, and stay strong. I will speak to you all again very soon for the next new episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Until then, bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.